1 this morning. John chapter number 1 in your Bibles in verse number 14. John chapter number 1 in your Bibles this morning in verse number 14. Been going through the book of John. Started it 3 weeks ago. As we continue going, the Bible says in John 1 verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Father, again, we need Your help as the Word of God goes forth. Would You help me? Father, would You give me power? Would You give me the words to say? Father, I pray that this verse would come alive in the hearts of Your people. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you go through the different Gospels, you go and you study really the beginning of the Gospels, there was two writers that wrote extensively on the birth of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter number 1, we discover and find that that the angel appears to Mary and says, "Mary, you're with child and you're going to bring forth a son and you're going to call his name Jesus." And Matthew chapter number 1 goes through that story. And then if you really want a more thorough and a deeper account of the whole scenario leading up to Christ's birth, you go to the book of Luke. And Luke chapter number 1 and Luke chapter number 2 tells us the story of all the events that led up to the birth of Christ. And you go to Mark and you go to the book of John, very few verses are mentioned regarding the birth of Christ. I think it's kind of funny as we get ready to approach the Christmas holiday that everybody seems to preach about the birth of Christ. And yet as we have been going through the Bible, as we in the book of John, I think it's funny how God's led me 7 weeks early to preach on the birth of Jesus Christ. That's why I wore red today, because it's almost Christmas time, all right? And but you know, I think about Jesus Christ being born. One verse here in John chapter number 1 is really devoted to the birth of Christ. And what is this verse? Why is it so powerful? How can it change my life? Let me just say by way of introduction today, this is a common verse that I quote often. And it's also a verse that many times is taken out of context. There are the Mormons that will say that this verse is not that proves that Jesus was just a son of God and was not the son of God. But this verse emphatically proves that Christ is just not a son of God, but he is the only son of God. And let me just say, we will not one day become little gods like they teach. We will not one day, you know, get to that status. But no, there is only one Son of God, and that's Jesus Christ. And so how does this verse change my life? How can I apply it? How does the birth and the coming of Christ, how does it affect your life this week? And as we come to this verse, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." How does this apply to my life? Remember last week we talked about John the Baptist, how he came on the scene, and he started to preach that message, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And his testimony was that because of an individual that was affected by the message of Christ. Jesus Christ and his coming had radically transformed his life, and because of that, he became a witness of that good news. He became a messenger, a sent one, one that was an ambassador for the coming of Christ. It affected John's life. I wonder this morning, has Christ changed your life? Has he affected you? Has he made a difference in you? The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." When I got saved as an 11-year-old boy, my life was changed by the Savior, by the Lord Jesus Christ. John last week was giving that message. He's changed me. I don't know. He's coming. My job is to make straight the way of the Lord. You better prepare because he's coming. Why? Because he's changed my life. And as it comes to verse number 14, John makes a statement, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John continues to preach this message. Here's why I'm preaching it. Here's why I'm going forward, because as many as received him, verse 12, salvation is to all, but the Word becoming flesh can radically change your life. I wonder this morning, do you know a lot about the Savior, or has he transformed and changed your life? I'm thinking about malaria. Malaria is something that folks in Africa deal with on a regular basis. I've got missionary friends of mine that live in Zambia and Ghana and Togo, and my sister was over there in the west part of Africa for, as a missionary for a while, and man, I've got missionary friends all over Africa, right? And they talk about how awful malaria is. You know, I can go and I can read about malaria. You know, I can Google it. You know, I can go to drweb.com or whatever that website is, and I can know a lot about what malaria is. I can talk. I can talk about what it will do to your immune system. I can talk about the fevers and the chills that you'll get. But listen, if I've never experienced malaria, my power pack punch is not as powerful as somebody that can stand up and say, I was in Africa and I experienced malaria. I felt the fevers, I felt the chills, I felt the devastation and the effects that it had upon my body. Hey, John said, I'm telling you, as I'm preaching this message, it's just not a theological debate. It's just not some great truth that somebody told me about and I'm repeating and regurgitating. Hey, he said, this message has radically changed my life. Can I ask you this morning, has Christ made a difference in your life? Has he transformed your life? The Word becoming flesh, Jesus coming to this earth, how does it affect my life? Notice, first of all, here in this passage, Jesus coming to the earth affects my life because, number one, because he became flesh. We see, number one, his domain. It says, and the Word was made flesh. Let me say, friend, Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and God Almighty took on human flesh, and he became, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was willing to become man for you and for me. He was willing to take upon himself the human flesh. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to go through the ups and downs that we go through. God Almighty himself, God the Son, became flesh for us. Let me say, he was totally God. The false teachers will come along and say he became a God. And this is the beginning of Christ becoming a God. But let me just say, that is contrary to the message that Jesus preached. Let me just say, Jesus did not say, I became a God. He did not come along and say, you can become a God. Like the Mormons and the cults will teach us, the Unitarians will teach us. They teach that message. You can achieve that higher, that more, you know, that next status, and you can become powerful. That's not what Jesus was teaching. Jesus did not say, you can follow my footsteps and become a God. No, but Jesus made it clear that he was God himself. It said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I want you to know that, hey, I was with the Father. I am God. I'm not a God. I'm just not cultivating a following, but I am truly God himself. It says in John 10, verse 30, for my Father, I and my Father are one. John 14, verse 9, Philip, Jesus is talking to him. He said, he that has seen the Father has seen me. In Colossians 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Jesus Christ is God in human form. He became God. While he was totally God, he was also totally man. Let me just say, Jesus did not have superhuman powers as a little kid walking around and zapping things and doing things like some of the cults will teach. He was not an individual. He had to learn just like you and I had to. One of my favorite verses growing up was there in Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Hey, Jesus had to go to school. He had to learn. Hey, you kids that are in school. Hey, Jesus knew what it was like to study. He knew what it was like to get a job. He had to work in the carpentry shop with Joseph, his stepdad. He had to learn a trade. Hey, Jesus went through the stages that you're in right now, but he increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. He was totally God while being totally human. Jesus knew what it was like to get tired. Remember, after he was busy preaching, he was on that ship with the disciples, and man, the wind started to blow and the waves started to crash about him. And what was Jesus doing? He was fast asleep in the ship. And they woke him up and said, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? And he rebuked the wind and the storm. Hey, Jesus, the Bible says in John chapter number 4, Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat on Jacob's well. Hey, he was tired. He had journeyed. He had walked a long time. Man, he was tired. The bones were aching and creaking. And he sat down on that well. You say, preacher, man, I got that arthritis. Jesus knows what it's like to be weary. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to go through what you're going through. I think about how Jesus knew what it's like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to be betrayed by his own family. Remember when everybody was flocking to hear him? Everybody's going up and they're worshiping there in the temple. His brothers came to Jesus, I believe it's in John 8, and they said, why did you go up to Jerusalem? Why did you go up there and worship? And they said, if you do these things and show yourself to the world, prove it to the world. And it says after that, for neither did his brethren believe on him. Hey, he knew what it's like to be betrayed by his family. He knew what it was like to be mocked by his family for being what God had called them to be. He felt the pain on the cross. He wept at his friend Lazarus' grave. Jesus wept, John 11:35. He knew the family drama. Jesus knew what it was like to be totally human while being totally God. But because he became flesh, how does this affect my life? Because he was God, because he became flesh, it says in Hebrews 4, verse 15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The fact that Christ came, you know what it does for us? It gives us somebody that we can go to with our burdens. It says in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Because Christ was willing to come to this earth, you know what? You have a Savior that knows what it's like to go through sorrow. John 11, Jesus wept. Man, that was his friend Lazarus, somebody near and dear to his heart. He died, he passed away, and the Savior wept at that gravesite. You say, preacher, my heart's overwhelmed. When your heart is overwhelmed, the Bible says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Because he became flesh, because he took on a human body, because Jesus Christ lived and walked on this earth, hey, it can transform our life. Why? Because we have a Savior who knows what it's like. He helps our infirmities, and he makes prayers and intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hey, we can go before him because he cares for me. Oh, yes, he cares. That song goes, oh, he cares. His heart is touched with my pain. He knows what it's like. I wonder this morning, are you taking advantage of a Savior that cares for you? He became flesh. He was born. Christmas will celebrate the birth of Christ. But I wonder, has it changed your life? John said here in this passage, hey, it's changed my life. Him coming to earth, it's transformed me, radically made a difference in his life, in my life. Why? Because he intercedes for me. He knows what I go through. I can come with my burdens and my sorrows and my requests. He is there for me. We see, number one, because he became flesh, we can go to him. We see his domain. But notice in verse number 14 again, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We see his dwelling. He dwelt among us. John said, you know what? I saw him. I touched him. I walked with him. He dwelt among us. That word dwelt is the idea of somebody pitching a tent, building a tabernacle, dwelling for a short amount of time. I don't know if you've ever been camping. I remember when I was 13 or 14 years old, somewhere in that range, I went camping for the last time in my life. And I went to Mount Washington, right in the northern part of New Hampshire. And I went with my brother and Dave Peters, drove us up there. And we got there, and man, just downpour rain. It was summertime, but it was freezing cold. And man, we about froze to death setting that tent up. And then we had macaroni and cheese, but it was like this weird, disgusting, cheesy soup. And we had a hard time getting the fire going because all the wood was wet. And then we had smoky fire. And then we fell asleep on that hill. We're sleeping like this. And the water bundled up right at the entrance of the tent. It was awful. And the last time that's the last time I went camping. Last time I will. And I still sometimes go camping at Days Inn and Super 8. But you know, I think about when you go camping, what do? You take that tent, you put the poles down, and you're there for just a short amount of time, right? You're not building a castle. You're not there, you know, building yourself a future home, that your dream home. No, when you set a tent up, it's a temporal thing. It's something, you're just there temporarily. Hey, when Jesus came and he dwelt among them, you know what the purpose of Christ coming? It was not to set up his earthly kingdom the first time. Hey, let me say, Jesus is coming again. This George we were talking about, he's coming riding that white horse, and he's going to set up his earthly kingdom. That's going to take place one day soon. But you understand, Jesus, the first time he came, why did he come? He came to die upon Calvary. He was born to die upon Calvary. He came to suffer for our sins to be forgiven. He came to shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of sin. He came with a purpose. He came with that purpose. He said, the Bible says, he set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem, right? This is why I've come. Peter said, Lord, you're not going to go and you're not going to die. What did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Hey, you're trying to hinder God's will. Jesus said, I'm come to die. I've come to shed my blood, to give my life a ransom for many. The whole focus of Christ's life and ministry was, I'm here temporarily. I'm on a mission. I'm on a goal. There's something I'm trying to accomplish, and that's Calvary. You say, Pastor, how does that affect my life? I wonder today, do you have a purpose in life? Why do you do what you do? Why do you live the way that you live? Why do you act the way that you act? We talked about giving in Sunday school. Why do you spend the way that you spend? Why do we do the things that we do? Jesus gave us the example. He came to be our example. We are to be little followers of Christ. We're to be followers of God as dear children. I wonder, do you have a purpose in your life? He was born to die upon Calvary. And what was the teaching that he taught? He came here to do a job, to go to the cross. So we are here to do a job for him until he calls us home to heaven. He was busy touching lives. He was busy helping. He was busy preaching. He was busy impacting people with his message. I wonder this morning, is Christ's message impacting others in your life? Because as you come in contact with them, you are giving them that good news of salvation in Christ and Christ alone. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. How does this affect my life? How did it affect John's life? How should we leave different because he came? Number one, we can leave different because we can go to him. He became flesh. We can leave different because we realize that there was a purpose in Christ coming. He came for just a short amount of time to go to the cross. There was a purpose for his life. But notice in verse 14 again, it says the Word became flesh, or the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice his disposition. He was full of glory, grace, and truth. Hey, how did Jesus carry himself in the crowds? How are we to be little followers of Christ? He was full of glory. And of course, we'll never be, you know, that glory that Christ. By the way, I love what John said. He said, we beheld his glory. It said in John 2:11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. Man, and when that marriage of Cana of Galilee, the water made wine, that's when, man, everybody starts realizing this is somebody special. John 11, verse 4, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. John 13:31, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. John said, you know, I saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, I saw him in that glorified state. I was there when in the Garden of Gethsemane, as the soldiers came to arrest him, and Judas betrayed him with a kiss. And Jesus said, whom do you seek? And Jesus said, I am he. And when he spoke those words, remember, the soldiers fell backwards as he revealed the glimpse of God, the glory of God. John said, I saw that in the ministry of Christ. I saw his glory. I saw his grace. I wonder if he was referring to that moment when Jesus was in the temple teaching. Man, all the people were flocking to hear him. He had just had a debate with the religious leaders the day before about how he was the Son of God. And they came to Jesus and they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery in the very act. And they said, we're going to stone her. What do you say, Jesus? Boy, the mercy that Jesus had toward that woman, the grace that he had toward her, that ought to be our disposition. That ought to be the way we carry ourselves. We love the unlovable. We care about people. We're concerned about people. Hey, Jesus stopped the funeral because he was concerned about a weeping mom. Hey, he healed blind Bartimaeus. He healed the lepers. He healed the crippled. Hey, Jesus fed the 5,000 because they were hungry. Hey, Jesus Christ had that grace and he had that the love that ought to be a part of our life. Not only did he love the woman taken in adultery, the blind man, the lame man, the hungry 5,000, the thief on the cross, but friend, Jesus Christ showed grace to you and to me. And because he was willing to have grace toward us, it ought to affect and change our life. His disposition was that of glory. It was that of grace. But it says in John 1:14, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only was he full of grace, but he was full of truth. Thy word is truth. Hey, Jesus Christ was full of truth. And so how does this familiar passage change our life? How should Jesus Christ coming, how should, as we approach the Christmas holiday, how should it transform our life? Are you going to him, first of all? Hey, he became flesh. He knows what you're going through. Are you going to him with your problems? Are you going to him with your drama? Are you going to him with your health situations, with your family situations? Are we approaching the throne of grace? Number two, because he came, are we an individual that is following his pattern of being here for with a purpose? He was here for a short while to go to the cross. Are we living our lives with that purpose and that drive and that focus? He came to die. He came to give his life a ransom for many. And are we individuals like Jesus? Do we have that disposition? We're full of grace and truth. Man, we're here to impact lives. We're here to make a difference in the hearts and lives of others. Jesus came with a purpose. I wonder this morning, what's your purpose? Just a couple weeks, we have Black Friday shopping. Madness at the malls, right? That there's some that usually die. Many get arrested during that time of season. Why? Because, man, it's all about things, all about gifts, right? All about the things that we can accumulate. I wonder this Christmas, Thanksgiving, these next couple weeks before the end of the year, I wonder, who are you going to impact with the gospel of Christ? He came 3.5 years, lived on earth, and he impacted the world. I wonder today, is Christ impacting and changing your life? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, you came with a purpose. Lord, you came full of grace and truth. Father, you came, Lord, just with the desire to reach others. And I pray this morning, Lord, that we would access your throne of grace. Father, I pray that we would be obedient to you. I pray that we would touch hearts and touch lives for your glory and for your honor. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I really got two questions for you this morning. First question is this. Has Jesus Christ transformed your life? Has he impacted your life? John the Baptist said he's changed my life. I'm a witness. John the beloved apostle said Jesus has changed me. I wonder, has there been a time in your life when you realized you were a sinner, lost and on your way to the devil's hell? You realized Jesus was the only way to heaven and you by faith alone apart from works turned from your sin and trusted Christ to be your Savior. I wonder, would there be one that would say this morning, preacher, I don't know Christ as my Savior. He's not changed my life. But I'm concerned about my soul, and I need to get that settled this morning. Would you pray for me? Christ has not saved me. I want to get that settled today. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you up, but I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, I need to be saved this morning. I want Christ to change me, just like he changed John and John the Baptist. Anybody like that, preacher, need to be saved this morning. Can I ask you a second question this morning? Christ come into earth, Christmas season. Has it impacted your life? Are you an individual that has a purpose? Are you an individual that's touching others? Are you an individual that is going to the Savior? He came to be accessible, to die on the cross. I wonder, are you availing yourself of that this morning? I wonder if you say, preacher, this morning, God's used his word, challenge me, and man, I need to make a decision based upon the message that's been preached. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? All over the room, God spoke to my heart. Amen. Amen. Good. Good number of hands. Preacher, pray for me. Good. Well, Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. And I pray now that we would be obedient to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed as Danielle continues to play. God's touched your heart. The invitation is open. Let me encourage you now. Would you come? Get along with God. God, I need to be obedient to you. God, I need to follow you. God, I need to go forward for you. You go and get baptized, you come right now and you go get changed back there. But man, God sets your heart, Christian. Let's do business with him. Christ changed you today. Are you living that new life in Christ? Do you have that purpose? I'm here to do something for God. Father, thank you for your word today. I thank you for loving us. Thank you that you came. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you're full of grace and truth. Now, Father, may we take this message home. Lord, help us to leave different than when we came in. In Jesus' name.